Good afternoon and welcome to the ADA mini course Ask the Expert podcast hosted by the National Aging and Disability Transportation Center. My name is Julie Dupree and I am a training and technical assistance specialist with Easter Seals and the NADTC. I'm joined today by my colleague Rachel Byerly, Director of Communications, and our ADA expert Ken Thompson. This podcast is designed to answer your questions on the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we're so pleased to have Ken Thompson with us today. Ken is a training and technical assistance specialist with Easter Seals, and he supports the NADTC by providing technical assistance, training, and information to customers and communities on a variety of issues, including accessible transportation, the Americans with Disabilities Act, veterans issues, building partnerships, and service planning. Ken holds a master's in public affairs and a BA from Hood College in Maryland, and is also a certified ADA coordinator and certified information and referral specialist. A couple of housekeeping items for our podcast today. We will begin the podcast with a series of questions we've received in the last week or so, and we've organized them into a few different categories based on the course flow: service animals, operator assistance, and reasonable modification. If at any point you have a question about the ADA for Ken that you'd like for us to address on this podcast, you can ask him in one of two ways. First, you can email your question to contact@nadtc.org and include podcast in the subject line, or you can use the chat feature on Mixlr.com, that's Mixlr.com, and search for NADTC podcast. Our staff will be monitoring both of those settings in real time. And if we run out of time to address all of your questions, we will reply to your ADA question via email in the next day or two. So with that said, we will get started with our questions. The first is on service animals and the ADA. And this question asks, I run a demand response transportation system. Should we request that our passengers who use service animals call ahead and let us know that they'll be traveling with their dog, or does this violate the ADA?
Well, that's an interesting question, because as I think about that, it all depends what kind of demand response transportation you run. In general, really, though, if someone has a service animal, they show up at the corner with their service animal, you have to let them run or ride with that service animal. You can't deny them that service. But on the other hand, if you're running an ADA paratransit service, you may have a question that a person has a service animal, and that is only asked more for the reasons of having space in the vehicle or something, or sometimes it's boarding order or whatever, to help you operationally, but it's not a way to actually change or deny service to a person. So really, it's up to you to think about what you are doing. If you want that information, is information really being asked for purpose of operation or in space, or is it really used for other reasons? If it's asked without any tendency to discriminate or change the way you do operation, then it may not be appropriate. It's really, just keep in mind that if somebody does show up with a service animal, you want to provide that service for that person.
Thank you, Ken. This next question is on operator assistance. And they ask, we have a strict no cash handling policy for our drivers, but sometimes people will ask for assistance with the fare box. It is hard to tell if they have a disability or not. So how should we be mindful of both our passengers' needs while also adhering to our policy?
That's an interesting question, because people oftentimes, you don't know if they have an obvious disability. So the point that could be raised is that a person may have a hidden disability, and they have no obligation to offer that information to the driver. They could just say, I want assistance with using the fare box. And in general, I would think it would be helpful to the people and to customers to offer that assistance. There's no way you could really know that the person has a disability, and there's no reason for them to ask. So generally, though, if most people ask for assistance, And then generally it would be helpful in customer service, from a customer service perspective also, to provide that assistance. But from a disability perspective, just keep in mind that some people may have a hidden disability and need that assistance too.
Thank you, Ken. Here's a question on reasonable modification. What does reasonable modification actually mean?
That's a big question. Reasonable modification, really, that's actually a kind of a core concept in disability law, meaning that any organization, business, or program would modify, or in other kinds of language, would accommodate a person so that they could have benefit of that program or service. And so reasonable modification, as far as transportation goes, means that a provider would say that, if you got a request for a modification from a person with disabilities, they would say that we'll look at that request and decide if we can do that, and if any way possible for us to modify our policies and to do some things to clear that up a little bit.
Thank you very much. We have another question here on operator assistance. What happens if a person's wheelchair is too large to fit onto the bus? What should be done?
Yeah, that's another interesting question, and seems to be fairly common now. When a wheelchair is too big to fit on the bus, the transit operator is really obligated to provide service to those wheelchairs that can fit under those design constraints for that vehicle. So if you have a vehicle that has a certain ramp or lift width, then it can handle that wheelchair, then you must provide that service. But the other issue would be, if you're talking of a large wheelchair, meaning it's too heavy, you want to look at the design load capacity for that lift or that ramp, as far as if you should provide service. So if you got a ramp or lift that's 600 pounds, which a lot of the older ones were, and the person in the wheelchair might be heavier than that, you're under no obligation to provide that service based on those design load restrictions. Now, what some transit systems do is they try to work and make it possible any way around those design loads to make a trip possible for that person. But it's up to what your vehicle can handle. If you can fit it on your bus, if the weight capacity is correct, then you should make every effort to make that trip possible for the person.
Thank you, Ken. Here's another question on service animals and the ADA. And they ask, we have a passenger who uses a service animal and insists that the animal ride on the seat next to her. What does the ADA say about this?
Yeah, the ADA is interesting on that. So yes, service animal wants to ride in a seat. The general feeling really is that seats are for people, and service animals are trained to either ride in the lap of a person or sit on the floor. So you could have a policy that says no animal would ride in seat, including a service animal. But otherwise, or contrary to that, you could have a policy that says, oh, animals can sit wherever they want. That's a policy up to you, and it's up to you. So the ADA really just says that service animal is under the control of the owner, but that doesn't really say that you have to have an animal in the seat. But a service animal generally is trained so they don't sit in a seat, that they will ride on the floor at the feet of the owner, or sometimes in the lap of an owner. But just think about, you could have a policy that says no animals on the seat, and that would be perfectly fine too. So,
thank you very much. Here's another question on operator assistance. We have a rider who uses our paratransit service and isn't fully ready in the mornings. She asks our drivers to help her put on her socks and shoes. Some of my drivers have expressed concern that they think this is not a part of their job. Is this actually an ADA issue?
Well, yeah, this could be an ADA issue when you think about operator assistance, because when you think of things like getting dressed or some fairly personal activities, that's not really the role of the driver or the operator. Getting dressed, you know, even putting on socks and shoes could be something a driver could do, but as a general rule, a driver is not really trained to be helping people with getting dressed. So you would have to think that maybe that's a task that's beyond the normal duties of a driver, and putting on socks and shoes would be better done by someone accompanying the person, like a personal care assistant or someone else, and leave the driver to doing the tasks of driving the vehicle.
Great, thank you. Here's a question on reasonable modification. What happens if a passenger thinks an accommodation is reasonable, but we as a transit provider do not? For example, we recently had someone ask a fixed route operator to help them carry their groceries off the bus and stated that it should have been an ADA accommodation.
Another great question. Carrying groceries off the bus. Now this kind of goes to a question of what's your policy in general as far as assistance to customers. If you have a customer policy where you offer some assistance regardless of disability for carrying a couple items, you would have to have that same policy for people with disabilities. But on the other hand, you could have a policy that says, no, we don't assist with packages, and that a policy would be perfectly fine to also include people with disabilities. It would not be discriminatory if it was the same policy between the two. You know, the other question would be, some people with disabilities need some assistance more with their mobility device than with boarding and deboarding the vehicle. The ADA really says clearly that that type of assistance should be provided by the operator, but it doesn't say anything about assistance with packages. But you might think about, you know, assisting with packages, what's your general policy for people, you know, with disabilities and without, and go with the same type of policies.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Here's another on service animals. What questions are my drivers allowed to ask about service animals, and what can't they ask? Looking for specifics for training on this topic.
Yeah, there's actually a couple of questions that can be asked, and the two questions that come to mind are the question that driver can ask, is your animal a service animal, number one, and then the other question would be, what task does that service animal perform? Those are your two questions. You can't ask, you know, whether the animal is certified or that, you know, that you have some kind of papers or something to say that it's an official service animal. You can ask those other two questions. Some service animals, in fact, are trained by their owners, and sometimes service animals are trained by other people, but there's no official training. And what tasks would be the other tasks that assist a person with their disability? And it could be tasks that are not even occurring on the transit system or on the vehicle, or even you know, going to and from the transit system. Some service animals actually provide tasks like at place of work or in the home, but they're still service animals providing assistance that are valuable to that person with disability.
Thank you, Ken. Here's a question, and that is, can a driver pass a wheelchair at a bus stop when the bus is full?
Yeah, that's a big common question also. Can a driver pass a wheelchair? Now, if you got a full bus and it's truly full and the securement locations are full, then a bus driver or a bus could pass, but not pass, just drive on by and wave. At least I think the bus should be slowing down, stopping, and offering some information to that person on the wheelchair so they know that the bus is full. So the driver should be informing that individual that the bus is full, and then also should be providing information as to whether, when the next bus is coming. If that next bus is coming sometime within the next 30 minutes or so, then there's no need for any kind of other action from the transit system. But if it's going to be more than 30 minutes for the next bus, the transit system is obligated to provide either a follow-along vehicle or some other vehicle to pick that person up in the wheelchair. And this could be done by the driver contacting dispatch to say that we have a wheelchair sitting here, next bus is going to be, you know, 40 minutes from now, and we need someone to pick the person up so that they could be on their way in a reasonable amount of time. So that's the kind of information that needs to be given to that customer in the wheelchair so they don't have any sense that they're going to be stranded there. So keep that in mind when you do your training.
Great. Thank you very much. Similar to that question, what if this question here is, what happens if someone who uses a wheelchair is already on the bus and another person who is also using a wheelchair also needs to board that same bus? What process should our drivers follow if it becomes an issue of a second chair not fitting?
Yeah, if you got you got a wheelchair, it's already on the bus, there's another wheelchair. Now, if you got two securement places on your bus, then buses should be designed so two wheelchairs fit. Now, if you got, just trying to think, if you only have one securement area, which is not the, it might be a smaller bus. So if you got a smaller bus where you have one securement area, then I think the discussion we just had previously of the next bus or some other kind of follow-up could occur, because then you would have a full bus. On a full-size bus, must have two securement areas on that bus. Now, if they're both full, it goes back to that same issue I just spoke about. That's a full bus. You should notify the customer that the next bus is coming in so many minutes. If not, then also information about that you called in to dispatch for of sort of follow along or some other vehicle to provide the rides to those persons or that person. So it's very similar to that question or the answer to that question I made previously.
Thank you, Ken. Here's another question on service animals and the ADA, and that is, can a person travel with more than one service animal and still claim to the driver that both animals are service animals?
The more than one service animal. The ADA doesn't say how many service animals a person can have. There's no limitation. So a person could have two service animals. They may have more. And to think about what a service animal is used for, you know, one service animal could be used to provide some kind of guidance or navigation for a person, could pull a wheelchair. But another service animal could be used for example, to retrieve items from a backpack or pick up dropped items. So it could be possible that a person has two service animals and both have two specific roles. It's interesting, if you ever get a chance to see a retriever service animal, they are very keen animals where, if someone drops something on the floor, the animal's trained to actually stop, and they look at their owner to see if they need to go retrieve it. So the owner will say yes, you know, through whatever motion or tapping or whatever, and the dog will go down, pick up that item, and bring it to the owner. So it's interesting why. So that's a task that service animal performs. And likewise, another animal that is brought on the trip could provide a different task. So yes, a person could have two service animals.
Thank you, Ken. Here's another unreasonable modification. Would it be reasonable modification to let someone eat on the bus? And if so, do we need any paperwork from them documenting their medical need for that, or is their word enough?
Yeah, I mean, that could be. I mean, under the reasonable modification of policy rules from DOT, you could have a request needed where someone would put in writing that they would like to have a policy modified so they could eat on the bus due to this whatever condition, you know, disability related, and then the transit system would recognize that. On the other hand, you could have a little more informal structure to your policy, if it works for you, where you could say, oh, yes, we will recognize the person when they request it to the driver. And it's really up to that transit system as to where they want to go with it. A more formalized process could probably be helpful, at least to have a record of that. But some transit systems will say that, oh, we just will take their word and go with that as far as eating on the bus. Question would be, you know, how does it affect your operations? And the other issue would be, what does your local disability community think as to what works best for them too? So you want to have some communication with your folks in the community as to how we should handle that policy and what works for us. So, okay.
Great, thank you again. Here is another one on operator assistance, and that is, can you talk a little bit about if a person can travel with more than one PCA, and if so, how?
Yeah, one PCA, the question on paratransit, you know, one PCA rides free. And generally, you know, that's all the requirement is. Somebody could, I guess, in theory, have more than one PCA. And so you would have to kind of work it out by talking to that individual. There's no requirement to have more than one PCA ride free. The requirement, one PCA, as by the regs, will ride for free. You'd have to really talk to the person and kind of understand what their needs are with that PCA. You know, it's kind of, when you think about service animals, maybe more than one, you could possibly, a person could possibly have a PCA that is along for different reasons. But there's no obligation for the transit system to provide service to a PCA on ADA paratransit for free.
Thank you, Ken. And speaking of service animals, we have another question on that topic, and that is, we would like to simplify the paratransit recertification process and certify service animals as service animals during that recertification process. Is this okay? As I have been told, it is a violation of the ADA, period.
Yeah, that's a big question. Yeah, I mean, transit systems shouldn't really be in the business of certifying service animals. What happens, I think, with some transit agencies, they're not certifying the service animal to ride. What they're saying is that, as a point of information, this person travels with a service animal, so that we know when we're picking them up that it may be a the service animal may be waiting with the person, and it may have some bearing on space issues in smaller vehicles. But in general, no, transit agency really shouldn't be in that business, because the service animal, you know, and what they do for that person with disability is really a personal issue between the individual with disabilities and how they want to use that animal for their needs. And so my thought really is that transit is not a service animal certifier. So you probably want to stay away from that if at all possible. But you could at least have for information that a person travels with a service animal. The question would be, like I said at the beginning, how do you use that information? You know, are you using it for other reasons, or is it more for just that, you know, we like to know how much space we have. So, and when people are boarding, if there's enough space, you're not going to deny the person, but it may alter how, you know, your boarding sequence or something for people on a smaller vehicle.
Great. Thank you, Ken. And we have time for two more questions. The first is on service animals, and that is, we have a rider who says that they use a service cat and boards the bus with the service cat. While we are careful not to deny the rides, our operators have expressed some concern regarding allergies. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Wow, service cat. And really, under the DOT regulations, There is no defining of service animal as specific type of animal or a specific breed or whatever. So whatever animal that someone designates as a service animal can ride under DOT regulations. As far as allergies goes, again, the regulations are very clear that you cannot deny rides because of allergies. You know, some people may have allergies, some drivers may have allergies, but the service animal still must travel with that person, and allergies can't be used as a reason for denying the trip. So,
thank you. And our final question for today's podcast deals with reasonable modification, and that is it considered a reasonable modification to let someone ride our system for free if they claim to have a disability and no money to pay their fare with?
That's an interesting question. Free rides because they don't have money. The question would be, is it really, do they have no money because it's disability related? And that would be probably a tough one to get into. It's really kind of a local policy. I mean, generally, your policy for everyone on the bus is that riders pay fares. So if you're going to ride, part of the deal is you got to pay some kind of fare. So my thought basically, under your, if you really think it was a reasonable modification to policy, as you, the way that you do business, you know, if you don't pay fare, you just can't ride. If you wanted to have that kind of policy, I think it could be very interesting as to see the results. But I think fundamentally you could argue that no, everyone who rides has to pay some kind of fare, and you know that it might be a stretch to figure out how does disability come into play as the reason for the person not paying the fare. So you know there are many people without disabilities that still can pay fare, or they can work through other programs where they get bus passes or reduce fare passes or some other way to make that happen. So you might think about, you know, that whole connection between the disability and not having to pay fare. Is that even possible? And the other thing to really think about, your fundamental part of your program is that fare payers get the ride, and that's something that may not be, you know, easily negotiated as far as providing those trips. So two things to think about.
Great. Thank you for that answer, Ken, and for all of your very in-depth answers on these questions that we received. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. And for those of you who don't know, if you call NADTC and have a question about the ADA, chances are you might get Ken. So for any questions or needs you might have, Ken is here to help. We're all here as a team to help you problem solve some of the ADA questions and experiences that you might be having. So again, thank you so much, Ken. Thank you to my NADTC colleagues for joining us today. If you have any questions as we've gone through this podcast that we haven't answered for you, you can always email them to us at contact@nadtc.org or post them in the course forum. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in today, and have a great rest of the day.